And now for the section where I invite you to ask me questions. And I've got a list of questions here from Chris. Now, Chris has asked me this question before, and it's a good question. And it's relating to Dolby Surround, you know, the surround systems that you can get now. And if I'm, you know, planning to use this system in the future to mix my music in surround sound. And it's still in its infancy is surround sound. It's great for cinema and movies because, you know, in a cinema theatre or at home, if you've got a surround sound system, you can place voices and you can place miscellaneous sound effects and monsters and car chases and shooting, and you can pan them round, and it makes the world seem real. Because the world, you know, you're trying to recreate in movies a false world by placing all these sounds, and you can pull it off. But music is different. We're so used to hearing stereo and concentrating the balance of left and right ears forwards towards speakers or whatever. And it creates a balance. Something I have a lot of experience in of mixing is to get that balance of rhythm and backing and arpeggios and solos coming through. And when you go to surround sound and you start splitting these things up, it's like the balance collapses. It's not quite there yet for me. It's coming. And when the technology has just gone a bit further and allowed me to surround sound mix easily, because at the moment it is very complex to do, the technology will improve and the audience will grow bigger. But yes, Chris, I'll be there, because it's very exciting. And yes, I do agree with you that if you can split sounds up and you can get that balance going, and the potential to have things flying around the room is unbelievable. Chris's next question is, are there any pieces that you have produced that were favourites of yours that may not have gotten the reviews from the public, press, labels that you would have liked to see? If so, what are these Medwin personal favourites? That's a good question. There's been a few albums that I've done where I've been surprised that the album didn't take off. It's almost as if it somehow gets overlooked. And then there's the occasional ones that might run into weird problems or something. Some good examples. One of the earliest ones I was really surprised with was an album called Magical Amsterdam. It's now called Golden Dreams Forever. Now, at the time I recorded that, it was very different and very exciting and quite unusual. It had bits of jazz piano on it, and it had a lot of synth work and a lot of drama in it and a lot of delicacy in places as well. And I just thought I'd really pulled off a really good album, and I'd taken another one of those leaps forward of expanding my own skills and coming up with something new. And the album was for Oriada Music, and they felt exactly the same way. They thought, wow, this is good. He's really done wonderful. I'd called the album Vienna. Was it Vienna or was it somewhere? I can't remember now. I can't remember what I called it. But it wasn't originally called Amsterdam. Oriada wanted to call it Amsterdam because that's where their offices are, and they wanted to make this big thing about Amsterdam. And the album was an absolute flop. A complete and utter flop. Hardly sold a thing, and virtually no one took notice of it. It's not that it got bad press or anything. It's like, hello, do you know this is out? You know, it just did nothing. And I think it's, looking back, that was all to do with the fact that it was called Amsterdam, because Amsterdam, you know, has its red light districts, and it's known for porn and all the rest of it. And I think the sleazier side of Amsterdam somehow probably gave it that impression that they put people off, I think. And so that was one of those little tragic things, and that was a favourite album of mine. It did a little bit better when it was re-released, but not much. I think the album I'm most surprised at is Priestess, and that may surprise quite a few of you. Priestess was released very close to Moon Goddess. They came out virtually the same time, and it's like the entire world audience and critics and labels, distributors, you name it, shops, they all latched on to Moon Goddess. Probably because it's instantly catchy and it's got an all-time classic opening track. The very first track of Moon Goddess is very, very, very catchy. And I think commercially everyone latched onto that one, and it's almost as if Priestess got lost in the stampede. And it ticks over very nicely. It's a nice album and it does well, but it's never done as well as I thought it should have done. And I think it's because it initially fell in the shadow of Moon Goddess, and that can happen to me sometimes. An album will get overlooked because there's another album that's been before it that's taking all the limelight and hogging it all. Another album I personally like, a very emotional album, is Timeless. And Timeless is one of those albums that, for some reason, never caught on and was sort of mainly overlooked. Nobody really said anything about it particularly, and still doesn't. And it's just one of those strange things. It just didn't catch the attention en masse for some reason. Which is a strange one. I've never worked that one out. Because I think that's a very sort of very tuneful, melodic, emotional album. It's quite polished. It's as good as anything else I've done. But just one of those things. Never really quite caught people. Chris's next question is, and for a more personal question, what does Medwin like to listen to when he listens to music? What would be your top 2 or 5 or 10 songs, tracks that you enjoy listening to? The truth is, these days, I hardly listen to a thing, because if you spend the kind of hours I do in a studio, the last thing you want to do when you come out of the studio is, I know, let's listen to some music. It just doesn't work that way. You want to have, you want to give your mind and ears a rest. But when I do listen to music, people I admire and like, it's quite varied. I like people like Hans Zimmer, who is a composer for film music. He did Gladiator, for instance. He can do anything from ethnic to rock to classical, and he's so powerful and emotional. He's a very skilled man that I admire. Then you've got people in the pop world like Sting, The Corrs, ELO, Supertramp, Paul Simon, Art Garfunkel, together or their solo albums. As for a top 5, top 10 songs, I think in terms of favourite songs. I tend to think of favourite albums. I always think albums. I mean, favourite albums would therefore be In the Quietest Moments by Supertramp and Mike Oldfield's Tubular Bells, Nomadorn. I prefer his earlier stuff to his later stuff. The Gladiator soundtrack by Hans Zimmer. Love Over Gold, I think, is probably Dire Straits' best one. So that'd be up there. It'd probably take me too long to think about it. So thank you, Chris, for those questions. And moving on, I've got some questions here from Carol White. Her first question is, do you have to discipline yourself to work? Do you make sure you do at least a few hours composing or recording each day? Or do you sometimes think, it's such a nice day today, I'll have the day off? I think this comes down to, it depends on 2 big factors. And one is how I feel about what I'm working on, and the second is what's going on in the rest of my life, in my domestic life, or the rest of my business life. So factor one is, if it's a commission, if someone has come to me and said, can you please produce this for X amount of pounds or something, and I'll take the work on, It's obviously not something, a subject I've chosen to do or necessarily feel a lot about. And I can get commissions at times where you think, oh gosh, this is so boring. And this is really not me. But you're doing it so you can pay your bills, you know, like everybody else, and so forth. And so you take these works on. So then, yeah, it's like everybody else. You've got to get up and you've got to go to work. It's a discipline to do it. But it's not a bad thing, it's discipline. The other flip side is if it's a project I'm really into, it's hard to stay out of the studio. I've got to force myself to do the opposite, which is to leave the studio, go and eat and relax, because I'll overdo it, I'll overwork. I just can't leave the project alone. If it's a nice day, and I haven't got the pressures of a deadline, or I'm ahead of schedule or something like that, and it's a really nice day, sure, I'll take the day off and I'll go and relax. But otherwise, it might be glorious outside, but if I'm behind schedule or there's a tight deadline or something like that, I'm stuck like everybody. I've got to go in to a dark room, shut out the sunshine and go to work. You know, it's a bit of everything, really. If I'm working on my own music, generally speaking, no, there's no discipline in it. I get in there and I enjoy it, and the problem is getting out of the studio. But if it's something I don't enjoy, or is a deadline, or something tough going on in my life, then yeah, it's difficult. It's a discipline. Carol's second question is pretty well what Chris just asked. What sort of music do you listen to when relaxing or driving, etc.? Who are your favourite artists? Well, I think I just answered that for you, Carol. You probably just heard who my favourite artists are, and they get played in the car too. So the next question is, does it ever worry you that your inspiration could dry up? Not really, no. If I'm brutally honest, I can get sort of, you know, fleeting moments of panic or worry, and that is only because I might get a bit of writer's block, and then you have these kind of panic attacks. Even though, you know, I do produce a lot and I've got a reputation for writing a lot, I can still walk into writer's block, and if I get too tired or for some reason the concept is difficult, or it's not working out, it's not really, you know, again, it's a commission and it's not something I'd have chosen to have done, so for some reason the subject matter is very, very hard, I'm not naturally inspired, or I'm too tired so I'm not feeling very inspired, then it becomes very, very difficult to come up with any ideas or how to make something new, or you're not finding the right combination of instruments that triggers the style. And if that drags on for like 3-4 days, where you're just trying to write, and nothing's coming up, then you have this, it's like, okay, time to worry now. And that can kick in, but it's only momentary. You know, you take a day off or two or something, come back, and whoosh, it's away. So I don't feel as though I'm running out of ideas or anything at all. If anything, actually, right at this particular moment this year, I'm having to stop myself from thinking of albums. It sounds ridiculous, but the ideas that are flowing around my head are piling up, seriously, to an extent where I can think, this will take me 5 years to get through. I've got so much that I want to work on at the moment. It's like I've been reborn. So no, Carol, that's not the case with me. It's almost like I haven't scratched the surface yet. It's just an ongoing thing. Just so much to say and so much to do, and so little time to do it in. Okay, next question. Okay, Carol asks, on volume 6 of the fan club, you talk about your love of space. If you had the chance to go into space, would you go, and what would you... Oops, I've missed a line. Sorry, Carol. And what would you most like to see while you're up there? Ooh, planet made of chocolate? I mean, the possibilities are endless. Would I go? Oh, sort of momentary cowardice might kick in. What would I most like to see? I suppose just anything. Probably a nebula. All those purple swirls of and colours and everything. But I think just simply, probably more than anything else, is just to, from space, look at the Earth itself. Just to see the Earth. The Earth is so beautiful. This blue ball in space. It's such a beautiful planet. And probably just to look back at where I live. That's a good question, that one. Gets you thinking, doesn't it? And I have another list of questions from Mary Cook. Hi, Mary. Her first question is, if you had to choose a favourite album, what would it be and why? I truly, honestly don't think I can answer that, because it's impossible to select just one album, I think, from what I have produced. And that's because all my albums are such different emotions and such different styles, which has all been deliberate, that you can't really compare them. They're not in the same genres. If I was an artist that just produced the same style all the time, then you could select probably just one favourite. Like selecting one favourite wallpaper out of a whole load of wallpapers, you know. But this, it's like comparing water and wood and fire, and it just doesn't quite work. I do have favourites out of the styles I have done. So if I was to say Celtic, I would say my favourites are Anamkara and The Scroll. I think those two are the best I've produced in my Celtic style. And then if it was the sort of South American style, and out of everything I've done, it would be the Medicine Woman 1 and 2 and Rhythm of the Ancients, because I think they're the best polished writing I've done in that style. And I like them for different reasons. If it was Watery and Dolphins and so on, I would say my all-time top favourite is Dolphin Quest. It's very emotional, it's Dolphin Quest. The best modern one, I think, is Millennium. The best one that I've used classical orchestration and that sort of kind of mature writing, it's got to be Comet. It never ceases to amaze me how you choose album titles and tracks. Does this come naturally, or does your brain have to work overtime? That is a good question, because it's something I work hard on, because it is so important. You probably don't appreciate as an audience how difficult it is to come up with an album title that projects the right image. It's not an easy task, so we come up with, you know, what can be several hundred variations on a theme for any one album before we think it clicks. And when it clicks, you somehow know it. You go, that's the one. That sums it up. Track titles, much easier. When I'm writing, I'm generally trying to convey part of the story, or I'm trying to express an emotion, which is easier because that really kind of pins down a very definite concept of what the track is about. So you know you're trying to say a word for sad or happy or romantic or mysterious or a particular part of the story, like a fight scene or a sword play, or it's in a castle. So I generally find I'm scribbling those down as I'm actually recording. So I'm recording a thing, and I thought, I know what I'm trying to say here, and I'll just write it down. So I seem to come up with those very, very easily. They just pour out of me like the music does. Like myself, Mary is from Cornwall. She lives in Cornwall, and we're surrounded by the ocean. So her next question is about Cornwall. She says, obviously living where you do, the ocean plays a big part in your life. Has any of your music come to you while you have been by the sea? And the answer to that one is a very big yes. Going back, Emergence was written that way. My very first album. Then you've got albums like Way of the Dolphin, Way of the Ocean, Clam, Scroll. A lot of the Celtic ones, most of the King Arthur series. So many albums. Neptune, which became Goddess of the Sea. The Magical Amsterdam, which became Golden Dreams Forever. Timeless is in there. Loads of them. Now, this is a good question, Mary. If you were not able to follow your chosen path, what profession would you have picked? And I think that would have most likely have been something to do with design. In an architect's office, or interior design, or something along the nature of design, which I would imagine over the years would have moved into computers, so I'd probably by now be something to do with designing websites or logos or something art related and design related. I come from a family of artists and designers, so I would have more than likely ended up in doing something like that. I mean, you've only got to see the sort of album covers and artwork that I've been doing on the website and on my own. And I've probably ended up doing something similar to that. This next question is a real humdinger. Gosh, if any of your fans wanted your opinion on a career in music, what advice would you give them? The best advice I could give anybody considering making a transition from being an amateur to professional is really to consider if they're truly up to it. And I don't mean are they good enough musically. I mean, can they handle the turmoil of being professional? And by that, I mean that as a young artist, not necessarily, not like myself, not a seasoned artist, I've been around long enough to have moved beyond what I'm saying now. But for a young artist, you're going to walk into recording companies and managers and businessmen in suits that are going to want to interfere with your music and ask you to change it. They're going to mess around with it, not going to reply. They're going to change the titles of things, bung on covers that you don't like, and they're going to generally mess you about to the point where you don't feel as though you have any control over your own career whatsoever, and to a degree you haven't at that stage. And you have to be able to deal with that and rise above it and beyond it and have the determination to push through it and hope that one day you'll be successful enough that things change and get better and you get the respect that you're due to. Beyond that, you have to also ask yourself, have I got what it takes to write music all the time? Have I got what it takes to write under pressure, to deadlines, when you're emotionally not up to it? All those very, very hard, tough questions of, it's not the music, but it's the personality. It takes a lot of tough energy and determination and willpower to get through the business side of things, and of course write when you don't want to write to the deadlines. If you can say yes to all those things, then the rest is luck and determination, and if you get the breaks. But that's the best advice. Ask yourself those questions. Mary's last question is, I believe that the classical and Spanish guitar is your favourite instrument, so therefore which one comes next? I think I'd have to say panpipes. They are so wonderful to play, and I just love the sound of them, and from a musical and mixing technical point of view, they really do cut through a soundscape and sound sweet and sugary and rhythmic, and they're just a delight to play and a delight to mix after you've finished recording. So it's an all-round really wonderful instrument to deal with. So it would probably be the panpipes.